מורה שהיא קשורה, קשורה אין לו קשורה לא. לב המסיס את הוקר אשפג, ותניה, אחר יו שרדק על שגיד רמי, צינם אחריהם, וישיבה צריך לקשור, ואשפג אומר, צריך לקשור. אבל אפשר שספיר אותם לאשפג, אך מהסכין המחוברס באביה. So we say over here that since it's connected, so it's asur. Even though it really shouldn't be muksa. So maybe we'll see over here, we'll see from here that anything that's mechubar is automatically muksa. And that's what we're saying. Even Rashbag, who says Ein Tzarich Lekshor, agrees that when it's mechubar, it's muksa. Assuming it's lamata. And then we're saying, however, if you were to be kosher, even though it's mechubar, it's mutter. In other words, machshava doesn't work to allow for mechubar, but if you did a maisa, then it would be okay. But the question is, why is mechubar ba'avya ba'alon? So Rashi writes, doesn't say anything. The Ritzva has two pshatim over here. This was what Yoni quoted yesterday. Mechubar ba'avya, yeshiv hirshu, dimistama kapit aleha, kevan shehi omedes leperos. First interpretation, and you have a similar thing in Ashita L'ran, which is Makvid Aleha. Why? Because you want this vine, this is a grapevine, and you want it, and if it breaks while you're trying to get the water from the well or something like that, then you'll wreck your vines. Now, sounds like he's saying Moksamach Mas Chisaron Kis, and Yoni yesterday in Shir wanted to bring a raya from here that you see it Shayach Moksamach Mas Chisaron Kis even with respect to something without Taurus Kli.
I was talking about the Ritva Bet Levinim, I think. Whatever. I just don't want to take credit for something I didn't say. Like, I'm not. I don't think I ever saw that before.
I do it all the time.
So okay, this is another raya for your theory from yesterday. The Ritz himself doesn't like this pshat. He gives a different pshat. But either way, in this first pshat, at the very least to the Shita L'ran, maybe you have a raya. There's a discussion about this question, perhaps in the Magen Avraham, Siman Reish Nun Tes. And the machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Eben HaOzer, it's quoted by the Bir Halacha in Reish Nun Tes and Sif Aleph, seemingly about this question. So Bir Halacha Dimascha Val Im Nisnam Nasnam Otzer Nishora. We know that over there we're talking about a case where you have wool or something like that to do hatmana on it. Well, what if you have you designated these wools to sell? So it says, Muchen shetamen ben derech mikri asal atatalan. So you have to do niyor. The miyachta makach, then it's motel atatalan. Avon tamen begize tzemer, I'm reading the mechaber. Afilo lo yichta makach mutter l'taltalan, v'ani mili stam gizin chen omdin l'schora. Aval, Nasnim lotel eschara tzrichin yichud. Says the Magen Avraham, or says Bialacha in Magen Avraham, shekasa didav kishimakra lem lishtamish bahem shum davar, velo attaktiv, mifnei asagas avn ozer. There's a machlokas over here. However, I'm not sure if you could bring a raya from this ritva, because maybe it just means that since you're makbid, so therefore you're not miyached. In other words, since normally, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that you were makbid, so then according to Rashbag, just designation of something like a vine would make it tarskli, would make it not muksa. And here, designation is insufficient because you're presumably makbid, and therefore you need to do a maisa like shira. That's the Ritva's first explanation. V'anachon dehachi ka'amar dekevan shemuchuberes lakarka delo havei bar tilta v'tashmish klal v'rotz also supposed to talosh shuhepech inyana b'chi ha'vadai ba'inan maisa gamor. Now, even Rashbag agrees that for something, certain things are harder to make them a bar tilta, like here where it's mechuber lakarka. And anyway, it's not a bar tiltal b'tashmish. Now, you do see, regardless, that it's l'chora, you see, at the very least, that it's shayach. In other words, we talked, let's take one step back. We talked yesterday about the question of mechuber being muksa, right? So what do you see from our Gemara? So our Gemara tells us that mechuber is not automatically muksa. Maybe it's more likely to be muksa, but if you have something mechuber and you make a kesher, for example, so then certainly, then it wouldn't be muksa. And this is very relevant, again, sort of, sorry to repeat a little bit, for the discussion that we had, really, in a number of places, but let's take a look at the Magen Avraham Shin Ches Lamedes. The Magen Avraham says,
"Is that Sifkat Lamedches?"
Sifkat Lamedches, yeah. That he brings a raya towards the end. Umash Masham beGemar deMechub laKarka. Afilu Matam Shlosha Aso Shtam Yesh Mimena Elim King Shara Lo Mani Machshava. Okay. So he brings a raya from here. He assumes it's not just a zmora. Now,
I was reading the
lametes. The end of Sifkat Lamedches. I was just reading how he brings that raya from our Gemara. Now, going back to, we'll go back to a different Magen Avraham in Shin Yud Beis. Vav. That's where we talked about it last time. It's a sifav in Magen Avraham Vav. This Shulchan Aruch says, "Makach v'shabes v'asav ma'achem afir lehim chubar uvilvad shelo yazizei." So what does that mean? Uvilvad shelo yazizei. So the Magen Avraham says, what? Sifkat Vav in the Magen Avraham. Shem uksin. In other words, very difficult read, the Shulchan Aruch, because it's very hard to imagine going to Nuach without Hazaza. But the Magen Avraham says, of course, a grass is muksa, and when the says Lo Yazizeh, literally means you can't move them at all, because they're muksa. However, everybody jumps on this Magen Avraham. For example, look at the Machlis HaShakel, he quotes Yali Rabba, Tosef HaShabbos, they disagree. The muksa de mechuber ain't well appears on the tlashim of nashu b'shabbos, but or sometimes you know it's going to be aser mechuber because there's an iser of hishtamshus mechuber, but by asavim there's no issue, right? Because there's no issue of hishtamshus mechuber and there's no haktsah, and they're connected to the ground, so there's no fundamental halacha of muksa.
Is this going to be biyad?
Well, here it's biyad.
Should
it be biyad? Well, that's what we're discussing. I mean, not biyad. I mean, why would it be mutter if they're muksa?
Not biyad.
You're allowed to move. You mean tilta begufa?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever you hold. I mean, I don't know how that's relevant here, but if you're making for a tilta begufa, then you could be making for a tilta begufa over here also. The point, though, is like this. Let's get to the bottom line. So, we have here a machlokas. Is grass that's attached to the ground muksa or not muksa? Magen Avraham says muksa. The Achronim, quoted by the Machtes HaShekel, and this is the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah as well, say, not muksa. Good. And l'chora, I would think, our Gemara, is a shtickle raya against the Magen Avraham, but not necessarily, and I'll explain why. Maybe it's a Rai 4. Let's stop for a second and think about the following. And this really brings us back to our question that we discussed yesterday, which is, why in the world is every stone muksa in the world? All the stones in the forest. Or, let's say it a little differently. Let's imagine there was a use for stones, right? A common use, a normal use even, not like a mudna use. What it would be exactly hasn't been discovered, but tomorrow somebody discovers a normal use for stones. Would they be muksa or not? Would we say, well, to not be muksa, there's no achana? We talked about that yesterday. No achana. So at the very least, the Mechilimah over here are saying no. The only reason why stones are muksa and sticks in the forest are muksa, or mechubar, that's only because there's basically no use. And therefore, grass has a use. Apparently, it's normal enough. So therefore, grass isn't muksa. Grass that's mechubar, right? All grass isn't muksa. That's what the these achronim are saying. And the Magen Avraham, is he saying it's muksa because it's mechubar? Or is he saying it's muksa because, maybe he's not saying there's a din of mechubar automatically being muksa. We know from our Gemara that mechubar isn't necessarily muksa. You might need a higher level of yichud perhaps to make something mechubar not muksa, maybe, but mechubar isn't in and of itself muksa. The Magen Avraham isn't coming out as mechubar, but rather the Magen Avraham is coming because he thinks that fundamentally to be not muksa, you need to be a kli or to be ochel, and this is not a kli. Nobody ever made it into a kli. It's not ochel, and so it's muksa. So it's unclear why the Magen Avraham is machmir. Again, there's two possibilities. Some say the Magen Avraham is machmir because he holds everything mechubar by definition is muksa. Another possibility I'm suggesting is because it's like it's chaser hachana, like we said yesterday. The reason why stones are muksa is because they're lacking hachana, they lack taras kli. And so here we have a machlokas, whether or not, maybe we have machlokas or not, whether mechubar is muksa. Magen Avraham says all mechubar is muksa unless you're miyached it. And the achronim who disagree are saying, no, you don't need yichud. If there's some usage, it's mutter. Or maybe even the Magen Avraham's only being machmir, not because of mechubar, but just because that is no taras kli. Yes?
Maybe aren't the achronim more afraid than the Magen Avraham? Isn't it that because they hold it's mechubar, it's not muksa, not because it has a use? Meaning, if the asadim were nitlashu,
Interesting question. It's a good shayla. So there's two ways we could understand the Mechilim. A more far-reaching kula, or a more less far-reaching kula. I was arguing for the moderate position. You're advocating the extreme position, right? You're advocating that really it is, it should be muksa, just adrabba, from the fact that it happens to be mechubra that makes it not muksa. But your pshat, l'chora, and there are those who hold this way, we even mentioned them before, but the simple reading of our Gemara is definitely against your pshat. Because if you hold it, there's this principle that mechubra is automatically not muksa, so then why is this mara muksa? So you'll say no. I'll learn like the first pshat in the Ritva, not the second pshat in the Ritva. In other words, the first pshat in the Ritva saying, oh, this is only really mechubar is automatically not muksa, with the exception of something that you're copying, like, as opposed to the second pshat in the Ritva, maybe not that way, right? The second pshat in the Ritva, the one he says is correct, is a different point. He's just saying that to turn something mechubar into a kli, you need like a stronger level of azmana. But fundamentally, it is muksa. And you'll say, no, like the first pshat and the like. So that's a possible reading, especially in light of the first pshat in the Ritva. There are some achronim who say this, and they're quoted by Rav Avadia. I don't remember who they were. Avadia was into them.
Yeah.
But
glass that's fucked, what's the deal?
So there's an interesting point, because the Mishnah Berurah is machmir by glass that's plucked. That's the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Lamed Vav Sifkan Chav Dalet. So now the question is why? So if you give your pshat, it's vagishmak. Because the point is that really grass is muksa. Be'etz is not, it should be muksa, but it's just mutter because it's mechubar, and memela, once it's plucked, it's asr. However, it's not a raya, because you could say maybe that's grass that has no use. It wasn't really, you know, I don't think grass, right? Well, we'll give a big nafkamina between you and me. I don't know if I'm not sure you're resistant, right? Would be grass bismanazet. In other words, grass bisman azeh, according to me, it's pashat is muksa, right? Nobody does kinuach on asavim anymore. Mashen kein, according to you, it doesn't matter. Who cares? It's still, by definition, anything mechubar isn't muksa, right? So that's a very interesting question. Now, the problem is, I think, that once you're going to acknowledge that there are cases of mechubar that are muksa, we talked about that in terms of the Doratosis being a basis, or the Gemara over here, that when it's the Zmora, even if you say Tzchnarkes or the like, so now you're acknowledging that there's such a, in other words, let me say it differently. What's the reason why you would advocate the far-reaching extreme position that you're suggesting, which is that muksa, by definition, is a muksa? So at least Rav Masas says the reason is because muksa is al tzotza, there's no such thing. Gevaldik. But the problem is we know it's not true. Meaning to say, we know that there are things mechubar that are muksa. That's shtei.
There's one. There's no use. It's not a kli. There's no use. There's no direction that would be there.
Good. That's my point.
The things that are mechubar that have a use. Those.
That's so. That's my position. In other words, I think the difference. Just one second. In other words, at the very least, I think that's what I'm trying to say, which is, you can't say that there's no such thing as muksa b'mechubar, right? Because we know there's such a thing as muksa b'mechubar. Okay, so now we know that there's such a thing as muksa b'mechubar. One second. So now we have to say, okay, so if there is such a thing as muksa b'mechubar, why is grass not muksa? The answer is because grass is a use. And therefore, if you have things that are muksa without a use, they would be muksa. And that's why I would think that Bismana Zegras is muksa, even according to the Achman quoted Magen Avraham, quoted who disagree with Magen Avraham, right? Yeah.
The Ritva of the second day is not against the Mekila. He just says it's a transformation from Sinus.
Right.
In Damashin, Inu Bar Tilto.
I agree.
In Damashin Bar Tilto, you need a Mice and I.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you Sinus of Kubler is necessarily muksa.
It doesn't have to be necessary. It just tells me that it could be muksa. That's my whole point. In other words, it's a raya against Johnny. Because Johnny was saying that anything by definition, by being
mechobar,
by
no use. That's
right.
What it is.
Exactly.
So, you know, everybody agrees that if you had something that was not meant for tiltal.
Good. That's all I'm saying. That's all I want to say.
No, you were just saying there's a concept.
That you were saying not that way. Well, Johnny, if I understood correctly, was saying, no, maybe grass has no use. And grass was.
And it was a tiltal use.
Grass is what he was saying, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that no, maybe grass is really grass should be like stone. So there's no difference between grass and a stone. Except that since it's mechobar, that's why it's mutter. Right? That lechora is very hard to say in light of our Gemara. That's also okay. Yes.
You ever said what was the right from the Gemara? Because
the right from the Gemara that I want to bring. This is all I want to say.
I don't know if the Gemara any of it is not that.
The Gemara tells us, tells it like this. There's three possibilities. Okay, we'll say the three possibilities and then we'll see what's arriving. Possibility one is Mogen Avram, the grass is Moksa. Good. The difficulty with that is it's a very hard reading of the Shulchan Aruch because it's very hard to imagine that you're doing Kinuach without Tiltal Moksa. But that's what he says. Possibility two is that when it comes to things that are mechobar, if they have a use, then they're not muksa. If they have no use, then they are muksa. Grass is a use, so maybe it's not muksa. Possibility, and that's fine, that's totally consistent with our Gemara. Possibility number three is what Johnny was suggesting, which is that that no matter what, things that are mechobar are not muksa, at least you don't have to call muksa or not. They're not asur b'tiltal, right? If it's mechobar, it's not asur b'tiltal. And that's why grass is mutter to do kinuach, because since it's mechobar, memela, you're allowed to use it. So that third possibility is very hard to say in light of our Gemara, because our Gemara clearly says that there are things that are mechobar that are muksa. For example, in the first interpretation of the Ritva, it's because of Kapit Aleh. In the second interpretation of the Ritva, is even more problematic because he's saying, you know, Minastam, it's muksa until you do a Maisa Gadol. And therefore, once you see that things that are mechobar are in the parsha of muksa, so then you'd have to either take possibility one or two. And then the other thing we said was within possibility one, Magen Avraham, there's two ways to understand his position. Is the reason why Magen Avraham says it's muksa because it's mechobar, and he holds up a klal that mechobar is automatically muksa. And that's also difficult for Margamar, because for Margamar you see things that are mechobar are not muksa. Maybe you need a maisa, but with the maisa. So maybe another way to understand possibility number one, namely the Magen Avraham, is because he thinks it's like avanim. And therefore, they have no kli, there's no achana, so that's why they're muksa. Good. That's a summary of what we said so far. Now, we've got a lot more done. Yes?
If you assume, like the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume that Muksamat Machesu Chiz is because of Hagsa, then why is, like, if you were just reading the first shot in the Ritva, like, that shouldn't be, like, you can have Hagsa on Kalim, you can have Hagsa on non Muksa items also, like.
Well, we'll get back to that. The Muksamat Machesu Chiz is, even if it's because of haktzah, the point is it's something that shouldn't be muksa, that now you're making muksa. So that's why that's the chiddush of the haktzah. In other words, it's a kli shouldn't be muksa. But you're
meaning, meaning it might not point to the mechur being quote-unquote inherently muksa, but it would mean that it shouldn't be so far-fetched to assume that you can have muktzamach maschesu kiss by non-kli items.
Well, where would it be relevant? In other words, if it's a non-kli, so what is it? Ochel? Yeah, we discussed.
It's a vine.
Well, why isn't it muksa? That you need haktzah on it. Without your haktzah, so what would their status be?
Maybe it'd be mutter.
What else? What? What? Why?
Why is it? Meaning, if you're going to
So that doesn't want to say like Johnny. So you would say it's Mutaru, so it's Mutaru. Meaning, why does the Ritva need to say that?
So you're saying that, and that look, that when the vines that are Mutaru, right? Let's say you weren't Makbid on it. It's Mechubar, but you weren't Makbid, right? So that would be Mutaru, like grass. And since it's Mutaru, so then it's Shayach to be Makzeh. Yes, you could say that.
Okay.
Good. Now, we're going to stop reading for a little bit. And skip to Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis, because we have lots to do. So, top of Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis, we have Shitas Rashi, that the Gemara says, according to the Yochanan at least, V'hu sheyesh tas kli aleihem, right? That you need a tas kli on a handle, on a cover, I mean to say. Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi, let's read it together. V'hu sheyesh tas kli aleihem. Shakisoi roi latashmish atzmo or laatzmo hu dinitla v'shabes. V'im ein tas kli so if you have a kisui, so if it's roi latashmish la'atzma, not so clear what that means, but from the hemshach of Rashi, well, I guess we'll read on in Rashi, but lost the shita table migdal. So here is maybe a little more telling. The reason why the dalas of the shita table migdal is in muksa, like we said at the beginning of our parak, is because it's tas kli aleihem. Why? Because ruhi sounds like he's saying, yeah, ruhi, you have another use. You could do something with this. Ruhi and leishev aleihem. Plus this aleihem is onus lakatan. So the way Tosos at the very least reads Rashi is that Rashi is saying that for something to be have Tars Kli, it needs two uses, at the very least. One use doesn't give something to Tars Kli. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you need Tars Kli, you need two uses. And Tosfos says, what logic is that? They never been tam. This is a perfectly useful thing, right? It's great. It's a useful Kli. Well, you need two uses, more than one use. Why should... If something has Tars Kli and it's very good at its very own function, just because it can't do anything else, it looks... The Rush suggests an answer for Rashi. He quotes... Rashi, so it's an early to Rashi, the time made him a fresh. Kule Shmite and Mishun Isser Binion. We cut off Shetar, he Kli Gamor Lafuke, me Isser Binion. Over here, the reason for Kli Gamor, meaning at least another use, is to prevent the issue of Binion. The problem that the Marsha asks, if you want, you could just look on the bottom, it's quoted by the Karban Masano, is that why does the Gemara then ask from Charyos, which has nothing to do with Binyan? So, also, you know, Shaila from what he says about Chita Table Migdal. Right? Chita Table Migdal, he says, oh, they have Tars Kli Aleihem, you could use them to feed your kids. But there's no issue of Binyan over there, presumably, with Pashtas. So, Tzachian on the Rash's answer. The Rash makes a similar point to something that the Ravid says. So we were thinking that the Pshat and Rashi is a little different. Pshat and Rashi, Tars Kli means that it can't just be a secondary use. In other words, if the only function of this is to help something else, to service something else, that's when Rabbi Yochanan says it's insufficient. So let's say a cover, a sheet of a table, all it is a cover. This type of, this kan is all it is used to close or open the doors. The cover is only to service the pot. So maybe that's what Rashi holds. In other words, it has to have chashivas of a kli. Taras kli means chashivas. It's independently functions and not just functions in a secondary capacity. Maybe that's the pshat in Rashi. But anyway, Tosfos disagrees. And he says, no. Let's read Tosis' definition of taras kli. El nir lebein ritam dachi perusho. Dikatars kli alav. Shetiknu v'asav o'maisa v'chinu l'kach. It's a very wordy thing. Tiknu v'asav o'maisa v'chinu l'kach. Does it mean and? Then it's a little repetitive. Does it mean or? What does Tosus mean? So his basic point is obviously that if it's taras kli, if you do something, like you fashion it or the like, that's what taras kli means. Now, if we go back to the Tosus on kuf chaf hey on the base, the top, we can maybe understand this a little better. Tosus over there said that there's a stira, there's three statements of Ravasi that don't seem to that aren't consistent. When it comes to the barrel, you just have to put the stone on top. When it comes to the stones, you need to do shif shuf. And then when it comes to the kisua, you need taras kli. And he answers, v'yesh lomar, the kisua chavis, sagi lam hanacha, shadar kolasos, so called the lo baitika, umaisa gamor, kishar kisua keli. Another char kisua keli mean more. The nivdach shalabanim, v'susas umiruba, levinyan sagi lam shif shuf. So in each thing you need a little more, a little less, depending on what's normal, as he says later on. So it sounds like what Tosus is saying in terms of kisui chavis is that that's what he, depending on what this is, it will need a different thing to make it into a kli. And that will depend on different factors, like how common or uncommon this is. So when he says in our Tosfos, this convoluted statement of tiknu asubo maisa hichinu l'kach, probably what it means is or, and it depends. In other words, for, let's say, a cover of a barrel, all you need is to put it on. For something like stones, then you need a little more substantial. You need to be mishafshef. For a kisui of a kli, you need something even more. So what does taras kli alav mean? It means you did something to give it taras kli. But what that is going to be dependent upon what it is that will determine what it needs. That's l'chora what tosus means. Now, you put these two tosus together. If you look at the Ritva, he understood Rabbeinu Tam, and I think it's worth looking in the Sefer Yashar, I meant to, but I forgot to get to it, that Rabbeinu Tam says like this, you need maisa hamochiach b'guf ha-chayfetz. You need maisa hamochiach b'guf ha-chayfetz. Let's take a look at the Ritva. And he asks on this pshat, the Ritva asks. He asks from which case? Evan shall be achavis. Because Evan shall be achavis, you just place right on top of the barrel, you don't have a maisa mochiach begufa chayfetz, and yet it's okay. So he says, well, maybe there's a different girsa over there, or it's al amurayinin or alibid Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, if you need Taurus Kli, l'chora, you can't just say putting something on a barrel is a Taurus Kli. So, therefore, the Ritva rejects Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, and he gives another answer. What's the correct answer? The Ramban's answer. Dehacha by Rabbi Yochanan Taurus Kli mipnei shematirim osam letalto lehedya l'chol davar k'chol kli shemlachto leheter. Aval behanhu deliel, let's say the stone, lo etira or charios or whatever it was, lo etirim letaltel, elatzarch oso melacha shehischil ba me'arev. Lo salik avanim elachavis, lachzira leha, v'chem b'nidvach shel avanim letaltel mach lezoch yeshivasa. The Ritva here says something absolutely remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Saying, there's two sugyas over here. There's two discussions. One discussion is, you want to do a specific task with something that's muksa. You're going to keep it muksa. It's going to remain aser betilto. But you want to be allowed to do a particular task. So for example, you want to be able to remove the stone from on top of your barrel so you can get the wine and put it back when you're done. Or you want to be able to use these stones as a chair for the shear. So you want to be able to do that. You're not interested in making them a kli. You're not interested in making them mutter betiltel entirely. They will still be aser, except for the designated task that you assign to them. So therefore, you don't need Taurus Kli. Right? What was Taisus' shaila? On the one hand, Rav Asi says, you just put the stone on a barrel, that's good enough. On the other hand, he says, over here you need Taurus Kli, it's a giant stira. And don't tell me that is Taurus Kli. That's not Taurus Kli, it's just a stone on a barrel. Answer is no, you're trying to accomplish two different things. Over there, you're not trying to make it mutter betiltel. You're just trying to allow taking it off the barrel and putting it on the barrel. Good. That's the Ramban's answer. Now, it's a beautiful answer. I think you could understand it in two ways. The first way is, well, let's say it like this. The question is, what's the pshat in this situation that you have something that it's not mutter betilto, doesn't have Taurus Kli, seems like it's still muksa, but you could still use it in that way? What's the pshat in that? What is the nature of that status? What's the nature of that heter? So option number one is it's muksa. But you weren't makzeh from this function. So it's half muksa. And the Ramban's telling us a remarkable thing. Something we never heard of. We sort of alluded to this possibility on several occasions, but now we see it. That something could be fully muksa, something could be half muksa. You're makzeh it from normal usage, doesn't have Taurus Kli, but you did hachana to use it as a barrel cover or as a chair, so it's mutter as a barrel cover and as a chair. That's option one, half muksa. And then it's saying like a very, very big chiddush, something that's a little strange. The Chazon Ish sort of asks on this possibility, this question, how could he have something that's half muksa? He asks it on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who basically says, like, more or less like the Ramban, and he says, this is very weird, because how do you have half muksa? But maybe that's exactly the point. In other words, especially if you're makta, you're not makta from this, it's not muksa for this. That's possibility A in understanding this Ramban. Possibility B is, of course, it's muksa, but they made a special leniency to allow this because you designated it as such. Just like we saw, the Ritva said that tiltul menatzat is mutar l'tzarech Shabbos. In other words, they were matir for tzarech Shabbos certain types of things, presumably because they didn't want the muksa laws to be so restrictive in terms of what you could do on Shabbos. They didn't want it to be too onerous. So they were matir tiltul menatzat l'tzarech Shabbos, and they were also matir tiltul for what you designated when you designated it for, even though it's still muksa, right? So there's no such thing as half muksa. This is fully muksa. But since you did something or you said something to allow you to now use it as a cover and take it on and off, so that's what you're allowed to do. You're allowed to use it as a cover, take it on and off. But it's fully muksa. Those are the two ways to understand it. Well, maybe they're nafkaminas. Maybe we'll think about it a little later. But let's talk about the Shulchan Aruch for a moment. So this is the same Shulchan Aruch we talked about yesterday, but now let's go back and see again. Asif Chafalaf. Shinchas Asif Chafalaf. Aval Nizach Shal Avonim Afal Pi Shechishev Alav Mivod Yom Asr Leishe Valeam El Inkein Lindo. More or less what the Rambam says. So the question is, what does this mean? What's the din of Lindo? So yesterday we said the Pshat of Rambam was that Lindum is Matar Yeshiva, but still Tiltal is Asr. So we're going to get back to that in a moment, but let's see how the Nosei Kalim look at this Rambam. So if you look at the Magen Avraham, Mem Aleph, he initially understands that according to the Rambam / Mechaber, it means that Limdom makes it non-muksa. And that's why you're allowed to sit on them. And he says, you're allowed to sit on them even if they are muksa. What are you talking about? Right? As we mentioned yesterday, the Magen Avraham takes for granted that there's no Isser of using muksa when it doesn't move. He says it must be, we're talking about a wadi rock. Right? So how does he read the rock? The mechaber, Aval nidvach shal avanim, afal vishach ishev alem yivod yom, asr, leishev aleim, elim kein limdom. And if limdom, then mutter leishev aleim, even though you're metal to them, that's what he says. Now, if that's true, then the Rambam Shulchan Aruch are saying the exact opposite of Rashi. Right? If you remember Rashi, how did he read the Gemara? Rashi read the Gemara that limdom is like the machmir opinion, that you can't really be miyachet stones, you can't demuksify stones, even shipshift doesn't work. So therefore you have no choice. You can't make these non-muksa. So limdom, go set them up in a nice circle before Shabbos, so that way on Shabbos comes, you could just sit down with them on the shir, right? Limdom is the machmir opinion. Limdom doesn't demuksify them whatsoever. So the way he's reading this is, if you didn't do limdom, then it's usher to sit on them if they are wobbly. But if limdom, then it's mutter to sit on them even if they're wobbly. And for that matter, they're not muks at all. You can do whatever you want with them. You can also juggle with them. You can move them, do anything. Right? That's the way he reads it. That's his first reading. He says this is a problematic reading because we know from Kash that you're allowed to do a move the Kash around even though it's muksa with your body. So that should mean that even if it's muksa, I should be able to sit on the rock even if it's wobbly. Right? Now there's his initial reading says if it's wobbly you can't sit on a rock. Why not? Why should it be any different than the kash? So he answers that actually the Rambam learns like Rashi and limdom is muksa. Right? L'chein nira li Degam das a Rambam shetzach l'sad in hayom kedusha l'skach liga b'mamachar kedas Rashi. Rambam looks like Rashi, and that's what he means. But even, either way, you're going to be able to sit on it. Now, the problem with this pshat is that the words of the Mechaber are not incomprehensible. Right? Let's try to read it.
Is he trying
Aval nidvach shel avanim. One second. Aval nidvach shel avanim. Afal pi shechishev alav mi ba'odio. Aser leishev alayam. Elim ken limdom. In which case, they're still muksa. Well, they're muksa regardless. Limdom they're muksa. Not limdom they're muksa. So what does it mean? Aser leishev alayam. Aser leishev alayam because they're muksa? Hey, I don't know how you read it. Right? That's what he seems to say. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav,
are you sure? I guess really it's just pushing the kasha onto something else, but is he saying this is pshat in the Mechaber or just pshat in the Rambam? Meaning, I think you have basically the same, Lamaise, I think you have basically the same kasha in the Rambam, like his lashon is just as difficult as the Shulchan Aruch.
Good, so it doesn't matter, yeah. Right? He says it in the Rambam. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Sifkat Nun Beis, says, no, you're misunderstanding the Rambam. The Rambam was like the Rambam. What's the pshat in the Rambam? And the Mechaber, presumably. Very, very beautiful. What does limdom do? Limdom doesn't make them not muksa. What does it do? It's matir than betiltal. They're still muksa, but you designated them now for yeshiva purposes. So therefore, what are you allowed to do with this? So, it's mutter leishev aleim. He takes it one step further. You'd be able to move them around to sit on them. You could set up the chairs, you could put away the chairs, you could sit on the chairs, but they're still muksa. In other words, you couldn't move them for any other purpose. You couldn't juggle with them. That's the way. So now it's great, right? If you want to, let's assume you want to learn like the Magen Avraham, but the wobbly point that there's no isser to sit on muksa that's stationary, that doesn't move. So then we'll say very simple. We're talking about a wobbly rock. If lo limdom, so then it's also to sit on it. Why? Because of total muksa. You still have to deal with this issue from the rush. From the why it's not okay because tilta begufo. Maybe you could say that, answer that kasha by simply saying that there's a big difference because over here, over there, you're trying to get, that was a machlokas, but maybe the reason over there tilta begufo is much because you're trying to get rid of the muksa. But over here, you're trying to use the muksa. You want to sit on a chair. So if it's wobbly, it would be usher. So, therefore, if you weren't limdom, then it's fully muksa, 100%. And therefore, if it's a wobbly chair, it's usher to sit on. But limdom, so then it's mutter to sit on it, even though it's wobbly. And for that matter, to move it around in order to sit on it. But it's still muksa. And he's learning like the Rambam. And finally, I guess the fourth way you could read the Rambam is the way we said it yesterday. That even tiltal, even yeshiva's asir, in other words, it's not even a wobbly chair, and then the Rambam's only matir yeshiva if limdom, and then we could read it more like, like Kain the Ramban, the way we said it yesterday, the Rambam holds Kain the Ramban, but then you could also say, if you read that way, then you wouldn't have a rhyme necessarily that the Rambam's matir moving it around to set them up or put it away. All that's being mutter is yeshiva. Now, yes.
Ramban himself, when he says that within Ravasi, the Ramban in verse that Ravami Paskin doesn't admit that.
Yeah, in Achanami. But the Rambam would be saying differently. In other words, once you have this concept, it's not that the Ramban and the Rambam would be the identical Shita, but rather once you see this concept exists, so then there's already a machlokas in the Gemara, what you need to do to create this level of designation, and then that's a machlokas in a gemara, and it's a machlokas in a
shonim. You have to learn the whole, gemara different.
Yeah, in a chanami.
Because he passes the bayan.
Maybe this is only an issue if the Magen Ram is also asking on Mechaber, but the way the Ramban came onto that was to steer in Rassis, and Mechaber was, basically was miyashed that differently, based on the pool of Baruch Havachi and the Pah Baruch Havachi. So he couldn't have learned that way.
Again, that's sort of like that question. You're right, in Achanami. But in the end of the day, it's true. In other words, the Yesod of the Ramban goes much further than just to be Miyashid, Bastiris, and Ravasi. The Yesod of the Ramban is that there's this mid-level, which has many applications. It's not... so whether... the Mechaber thinks that the Chreyas for the Ramban there is true, I don't know. Mechaber doesn't quote the Ramban and discuss it at all. Mechaber is just quoting the Ramban. And the Rambam doesn't tell you how he came to his conclusions. But again, that would be the din. Now, on the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is a kula, in the sense that if limdom it's mutter l'taltalam l'yeshiva, according to Magen Avram, they would be muksa gamor, even though he thinks you'd be mutter to sit on them. The Mishnah Berurah, though, paskins like the Magen Avram in Sifkat and Peches. And despite the difficulty in the lesson of Mechaber, what's a little strange is that if you look at Sifkat and Peites, the Mishnah Berurah writes that limdom is a maisa gamor. In other words, and then he says, the Magen Avram says we should pass him like Rashi against the Rambam. He seems to be reading the Magen Avram as saying that it is a machlokas between Magen Avram really went back to his first pshat. And says it's a machlokas Rashi and Rambam, and we should pass him like Rashi against the Rambam. And maybe he's saying that because of what we said, that like the words of the Shulchan Aruch are incomprehensible according to what we were saying is the Magen Avram's second shot. So it just doesn't make any sense. And really, there isn't a second shot. It's like a theoretical second shot. But the Magen Avram, in the end of the day, is saying Rambam would be matir, Rashi would be machmir, flimdom, and we should pass him like Rashi, l'chumra. So if so, according to that understanding, that Magen Avram is a kula. But anyway, we pass him like Rashi. So Lemaisa, that there are a number of possibilities of what we should do. According to the Lemaisa, right? According to Mechaber and the Rambam, according to Mishnah Berurah, Sidram is Miba Odiyom is not Muksada, right? Super kula. According to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Bidas Mechaber and Rambam, Sidram makes it halfway. It's matir, betiltal, tzarchi shiva, but not other types of tiltal. According to the Mishnah Berurah Maisa, we follow Rashi, that Sidram is garnished. And according to our Havan in the Rambam, Sidram Iba Od Yom would be matir, yeshiva, slash estamsus, but not necessarily anything else. Okay. Now, there's a piece in the Megillah Sefer that develops this idea of this mid-level muksa. We've said two svaras in the lumdus, but whatever it is, this Ramban's mid-level muksa. And it's just worthwhile, we're not going to go into it anymore, but there are a number of sugyas and chas that, at least according to many, some Rishonim on each of these sugyos, are examples of this type of mid-level muksa. So number one is the sugya of Hichnis Afar in Beitz Daf Ches. And over there you see that the offer is, again, the parameters beyond the scope of today's discussion, but the offer seems to be mutter for some things, asr for other things. And the pshat is, because it's not pshat that it has taras kli. Pshat is that even though it doesn't have taras kli, you were designating it for certain usages, and therefore it's mutter for those usages and nothing else. The next example is Eitzim on Yom Tov. Again, the Gemara over there, Beitza, at least... some tanaim, it's machlokes tanaim, but the eitzim is mutter v'hasaka on yantif, but also for other tashmishim, like asar l'smoch bokari hamita, or to prop up the door, or whatever. Right? Again, what's pshat? What's going on over there? Why don't we just say, if they're muksas, I should be able to move them at all. And if they're not muksa, because I could use them for firewood, so then I should be able to use them for whatever I want. The answer is no, because they're half muksa. Right? Eitzim are not they're not a kli, but since you designated them for firewood, so they're mutter for firewood, they're not mutter for anything else. The third example is this sugya is understood by the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the like, that these types of things, like the Eitzim, Shalimdom, etc., again, are half muksa, and therefore muksa for these things. And finally, the sugya in Beitza Chavchas on the base, the sugya Shvod, this is the Pesach Rebbe Yerucham, at least, and maybe others, that again, it says over there, you could use this skewer for roasting, and then when you're done, it's used to be muksa, changed for other things. And the way Rebbe Yerucham says, it's not really a kli, it's just doing a maisa kotz, which is interesting in its own right, because that sounds like Ishtam, so he says, no, just a maisa kotz. But still, and therefore, Mimela, if you want to use it for other things, chveis, after you've finished roasting your lamb, you want to use the spit for something else, you would be able to do that. It would be also letaltalo, even letzarv makomo or the like, for that reason. Good. Now, so, hadanoach perakol akelim, and now we're going to begin Simen Shemches. So, my plan was to talk about Simen Shemches today, but alas, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. So what are we going to do instead? So we start tomorrow. And in terms of hadracha for this, so I think that what it makes sense for us to do is to try to do as much Beis Yosef as you can. In theory, you know, what we should do is Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham, Mishneh Berurah, Bir Halacha. That's what, and then, you know, contemporary Esfarim when relevant. We were not going to have time to do all of this at that pace. So instead, what should you do? You should try to do as much Beis Yosef as you can. And it'll, hopefully, most of the time it'll go quickly, because we should be pretty familiar with most of the topics already. And for the things that are more interesting to you, because they're interesting, or because they're lemaisa, spend more time seeing the Nosei Kelim and the like. And then for things that are less interesting, then maybe skip to the Mishneh Berurah, and that way you'll be able to move relatively quickly. Tomorrow we'll try to do the beginning, which is Hakdama. I'd like to also talk about Tefillin, which is on Sif Dalet. Again, we'll try our best to keep moving. And obviously we're not going to discuss every issue, so in Shir I'm going to pick certain interesting things that I think are more we could talk about more, but at least try to get through as much as you can. I think it's reasonable to maybe say Beis Yosef and Mishneh Berurah for everything, but we'll see how that goes. Okay.